Well, I'm sitting here with Bryce Schubert, and I'm going to let him tell you what he does because it's a lengthy title. Kind of messes the job description because the title is long enough. So tell us what you do at Crossings.
Yeah, I'm the Director of Media Operations for our Contemporary Services, which basically is a big title that just means I get to support the different production managers and technical leaders at our different locations here.
Yeah, because we have many of the contemporary worship rooms.
We do.
So you oversee pretty much worship at every location except for the sanctuary and the chapel.
Yep.
Because that would be our contemporary services.
Exactly. Yeah, all the technical support for those.
So how did you find out about Crossings and about the job?
Yeah. So ultimately, I'm from Southern California, moved out here about 7 years ago. And shortly after that, through some connections, I met someone on staff here who was looking for just someone that can do sound and mix in a contemporary setting. And so I had a chance just to start out doing that. And I did that for about 2 years and then joined the team full time, helping in one of our venues here.
Boy, am I glad you did, because you are really good at what you do. Really, really good. So how did you get to Oklahoma from California?
Yeah. So ultimately, it's because of my now wife. At the time, we were dating long distance, and I knew that's who God had for me to be with the rest of my life. And so I moved out here to be with her. And ultimately, about 6 months later, we got engaged and then got married at the end of the year.
That's great.
So, yeah.
And did she grow up here?
She did not. So she's actually from the opposite side of the country. She's from South Carolina. And so we just met right
That's
in the
amazing.
Middle. Yeah.
You know, you're on both coasts and somehow find yourselves. Was it Oklahoma how you met?
Yeah. Yeah. So I was touring with an artist for a while, doing sound, production managing, tour managing, all that fun stuff. And we were playing at a Christian camp out here in Oklahoma. And she was on staff with the camp, kind of doing like lyrics and things like that. And so for a few weeks out of that summer, we had a chance to work together and get to know each other. And from there, we hit it off and stayed in touch. And
wow.
Yeah, now we're here.
So you were traveling, touring with a band,
yep,
and doing your magic for the band. So how did you get into that? And then when did you decide to step out of that?
Yeah, so when I was in junior high, I was kind of approached by a friend at my youth group that was like, hey, I think you might like this tech stuff here, you know, doing sound and slides and all that stuff. I mean, you're kind of a nerd, so I think you would like that. I was like, I am, so yes, I would like that. So I gave it a go. And then throughout junior high and high school, I got to just continue serving in that capacity at the church I grew up in. And ultimately, around my sophomore year, I kind of realized, like, I could probably do this as a career. And I didn't know what that would look like, if that was, you know, touring on the road, if that was, you know, at a church or any other avenue. And so because of that, I was like, you know what, let me just go wherever God leads. I'll try whatever he throws my way and see how it goes. And so I ended up not going to college. I just started working right out of high school. I ended up going to work at a camp in California, got to work with some great bands and speakers and just all kinds of really cool stuff. And ultimately, one of those bands that was leading worship, they're like, hey, we're going to go on the road. Do you want to help us? And so I was like, yeah, absolutely. Like, that sounds fun. And so there's a band called For All Seasons. They're based out of Southern California, but I had a chance to kind of travel around the country with them for a few years. We got to play lots of churches and festivals. Anything is a lot of fun, and I mean, it's a great experience, but also allowed me to meet some great people. And through them, they know Will, who's here on staff, one of the guys that they worked with, and that's how Will was like, hey, we need someone to mix. Do you know anyone? And it kind of trickled down to me, because
that's
that time,
incredible.
I had moved out here and stepped away from touring, and so it was really cool. Just
so
kind of
how unusual.
Down.
Your story is fascinating. You know, so you have some connection to Will Jarrell, or people you know Will.
Yeah.
And that was a connection. And then I'm still fascinated by the fact that you grew up in California and your wife grew up in South Carolina, went beach to beach, and somehow you met. Tell me about that the period of your life growing up in church. When did you come to Christ? When did it all kind of make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. So my family, they've been in church since I was a kid. I have great parents who love the Lord and just love serving him. And so that was something that at an early age, I had some really good examples of. And so growing up, I was always at church. And it wasn't until we moved from one city to another that my life kind of at the time as a kid felt like it changed dramatically. I was moving away.
In a good
away
way or not?
Both, I would say. Okay. So this was when I lost everything I knew as far as friends. I mean, I was maybe 7, 8 years old. Okay. And so I lost my friends. I was moving an hour away. I wouldn't see them as much. What was my life at the time felt like it was crumbling. But later I can look back and see, oh, that's what God used to get a hold of my heart. I remember as we were making this move, I just remember thinking, man, everything seems out of control. What do I do? And, you know, as a 7-year-old, I'm like, I don't have any control. What do, you know? And so I remembered the stories from the Bible that I heard of like, oh, there's this God that provided for all these different people throughout history. And so I was like, you know what? If he could do that for them, I bet he could do that for me. Mm-hmm. And so it was at that time that I put my faith in Christ, going from a time where I provided for myself. I thought I was, you know, the one in charge of my life to saying, you know what? I don't need the sinful nature anymore. I mean, as much as theologically sound that can be as a 7-year-old, to going, hey, my life is a lot better in the Lord's hands. Mm. And so from there is kind of when I made that decision. And then throughout junior high and high school is when a lot of those, my formative years of just understanding better what the Bible is actually saying, who God is. And so around 7, 8 years old, I made that decision to follow Christ. And yeah, haven't looked back since.
So you met your wife at this camp in Oklahoma, but she didn't grow up here.
Correct.
And you didn't grow up here.
Correct.
So you're both in Oklahoma at the same time, which is kind of fascinating because that means this was supposed to happen.
Yeah, definitely.
And so how long have you been married now?
We're coming up on 6 years.
Oh, wow. You're an old married man.
Oh, yeah. And we have a little 3-year-old daughter who is just so much fun.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's great. You're really good at what you do. And I've known that more than I've actually known you, the details of your life. I've just known that you're really good at what you do. It's obvious. And I'm so thankful that you ended up at Crossings. You could be anywhere you wanted to be in sound and media and all those things. Those guys are hard to find.
Sure.
And the good ones are hard to find. And the good ones that also happen to love Jesus are hard to find. So you have been quite a big deal for us that we're thankful for that God brought you our way. So you could be doing anything you wanted to do, pretty much in this world of sound, concerts, whatever. Mm-hmm. So how did you finally hone it into church or to working in a church? Yeah. And then I guess the second part of that would be, were there reservations about serving in a church?
Sure.
Because sometimes it doesn't go well.
Yeah.
We know people. We both know people who served in a church and left and never went back to church.
Yeah.
So I'm curious to see how that all unfolded for you.
Yeah. Church has been a big part of my life. So I know that's where a lot of my faith has been cultivated and grown. And even seeing just some of my mentors in the past having planted themselves in a position at a church of, hey, I'm going to support just using technical means support the church and the ministries that happen. That's something that I've always been drawn to, knowing that that can bring a lot of not only value to the church and the ministries there, but also just to helping people grow in their faith. One thing I love about using production and media and sound and all the lights and everything is that it is a fun tool that we can use, but ultimately it's a great support to what we're communicating from the stage or from anywhere that we're sharing the good news with people. It's a way that I can take the skills that God has given me and give them back to Him because we're not needed. Our technical sound and the speakers and the lights and everything isn't needed for the gospel to be made known. But it's a great tool that I believe the Lord uses to make it a little wider
How
we hear and know about Jesus.
Yeah, I've never felt that bad music or bad sound, and not every church can have the expertise we get to have here, with people like you. But people don't realize the difference between, for us, it's so seamless, it's just good, and no one could tell you why it's good, basically sitting in the audience for the most part. Mm-hmm. And yet you know what good sounds like. And, I've always admired people like you, and I admire you because we hear what's going on in the room, but it's not painful.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's so well done that it's truly an enhancement and makes a room come alive, you know, because there's a big difference between expertise in that sound, media, video area and somebody who doesn't know what they're doing, you know. Now, God can use anybody.
Sure.
There are churches out there that don't have the resources to do what we're now able to do. We were one of those churches at one time. But it's pretty amazing that how you have the expertise as well as the heart for ministry. And I get a sense that the ministry piece drives you more than even the media piece, which is where your expertise is.
Yeah.
Would that be a fair statement?
I would agree with that, yeah. One thing I love about just our teams here, both our staff and our volunteers, there's this culture of just a desire to help people find and follow Jesus. And what I love is that there's people on our team that might not ever get to step foot out of the booth and, you know, be a greeter or do something like that because that's not their giftings. But their giftings are pressing buttons and doing those things. And that's their way of serving. And it's just so cool getting to work with an amazing team that is able to do really cool, things in an effective
way. I'm very thankful that you that's another piece of being a great leader. You recognize the gifts of those around you, and you walked in some tall cotton in your life in terms of the whole sound and concerts and touring and all that, and yet you have this great heart for people around you who serve and. You know, it's one you think pushing it is how hard it can be to push a button. Well, you got to push the right button at the right time,
sure.
In the right moment, you know, and all those things. And people probably are not, I think by and large, and I've been around it all my life, and I still couldn't tell you all the levels of expertise. Yeah. But I know that there is a difference between certainly in a church that has gotten as large as this one, which we never saw that coming either, but we'll take it. God's allowing us to have great influence with people and in our city and beyond. But it just is, I just love, I walk out of church on Sundays and think, my goodness, that it's always good. We don't know what good isn't.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or I guess I could say we don't know how bad it can be.
Sure.
Although we've had seasons in this church where, you know, it's like, oh man, we're not getting that right yet. So what do you like to do when you're not working at the church and what I hope is enough free time to, because you guys have to work a lot of hours every week and you've got to say no or you'd be working 24/7.
Right.
So what do you do when you're not at Crossings working?
Yeah.
Working at home?
Honestly, just family time. Yeah. I'm a big family man. I love hanging out with my daughter, hanging out with my wife. Whatever season we're in, whether that's we're going to go play outside, go parks, go, you know, explore, like that's a great season to be in. Or if we're just going to hang out and just be around the house, like just a lot of family time is kind of where I tend to land. And yeah.
Any particular hobbies or interests you have outside of the media?
Yeah. I mean, I really enjoy just being outside, whether that's hiking, just going new places, new coffee shops, things of that nature. I tend to be pretty simple outside of what I do here. I don't focus on technology when I'm at home. There's a lot of it here, so it keeps me busy in that sense.
You grew up in Southern California. I know where you grew up. By the time I got to spend all this time in Newport Beach, I would fly into Riverside. Mm-hmm. So there you were. You know, it's a miracle we didn't connect, but there's only a few million people out there.
Just a couple.
You know, so moving from where you grew up in Southern California to Oklahoma.
Yeah.
What was that like at first?
Well, I was scared of tornadoes, I'll tell you that. Where I grew up, it was, you know, great weather all the time.
All the time.
The mountains, beaches, just amazing scenery. To moving here, it's pretty flat.
Pretty.
you see the buildings, but that's about, you know, the elevation you get. And that's a big change, of course. Weather, you know, is very different. But one thing I love about Oklahoma is that the people are just nice, especially compared to where I was.
Yeah.
So it's definitely feels more homely in a way because there's it's easier to find community, I think.
Yeah.
Very different from California for sure.
Well, and you grew up around large churches, you know, and probably in a large church as you were growing up. And so this wasn't necessarily, Crossings would not have been that unusual and to what you'd already experienced. Yeah. So what's been your what has been your observation through the years? You know, large churches sometimes are churches that people love to criticize.
Yeah.
And but you grew up around some in and around great churches in Southern California in particular. And now you're at Crossings. Talk about what you've seen in churches. Yeah. What do you appreciate about where you've been or where you are now? Yeah. And what about Crossings seems to click for you and make it something you're willing to keep doing?
Yeah. Yeah, I grew up at a church that's actually quite similar to Crossings in a sense of just how ministry was approached. And I think a big aspect of that is that there's no shying away from ministry here. That's something that was a very big draw for me when I first heard about Crossings and started looking into what it was about, what it's about. And that is that, you know, ministry is going to happen where it needs to happen, and we're not going to get in the way of that being people. Yeah. And so seeing different areas, whether that's going on outreach missions, whether that's local, whether that's events that we put on here, it's something that I think we do really well is we do those and we don't hold back when we don't need to. We're not afraid just to, hey, let's try this out. Let's meet this need in this community where we're at. I mean, we see that with all of our locations where if you go to any location, you'll realize they might have the same branding and the same reason for why we do what we do, but it all looks different because it supports that specific community. And in my role, I get a chance to kind of see that hands-on, which is amazing, that I get to go to the community center and I get to see that community praising God and worshiping in a way that fits that community. And then I go over to Mayfair. I'm like, wow, this is very different. But it's very unique in a sense that we're able to do so much that fits the specific context of each location. And one thing within Crossings as a whole is that I think we're really good at doing that, is meeting the needs of the people that we serve and not shying away from sharing the gospel at the same time, which, I mean, that's what we're supposed to do.
Yeah.
And so it's really cool getting to be a part of that in that sense. And yeah, it's something that I think is great about Crossings.
You know, it's interesting because when the idea of another location came up, we had a lot of people coming out of North Edmond.
Yeah.
And so that was kind of a logical first mm-hmm. place to go. And my brother moved here from California, having been at Kaiser, and bought a house out in Oak Tree. And so suddenly I'm driving up Kelly a lot from where I live, down by the Kilpatrick in Eastern, to my brother's place. And it's so fun that we were in the same town. We never dreamed we'd all be in the same same city. We
That's
just
amazing.
Did. I really thought I'd retire and go to California at some mm-hmm. point, you know, kind of thing. But they're here, which is wonderful. And so I would pass by some of these areas where I knew we had a lot of people coming from.
Yeah.
And then I was noticing some land that was kind of looked like it might be available. And so we started there on Covell. I had two misconceptions as I look back on it. God has used it. Mm-hmm. But one was, it's plenty big enough. You know, that 5 acres is plenty. And it's, now it's like, no, it really isn't.
Mm-hmm.
But it's working. And that's the amazing right. piece of it, that you have some very wonderful staff out mm-hmm. there that help the church do what it does with far more people than we ever thought. And then the second thing I didn't see coming as we started this idea of locations was that each one would be so different. Mm-hmm. I thought they'd all be the same.
Yeah.
Isn't that how we do that? Isn't that how the great churches do satellite sites or other locations? They're all the same. And that was nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
And I really thought that'd be our path. But there's nothing the same about our locations. They're all different. And you see all those because of your responsibility overseeing all that. Was that a surprise to you? Was that different? How's that register with you?
Yeah, it was, I would say in a mild way, it was a shock. It was a shock in saying that, like, I kind of assumed, but I didn't know what that actually looked like, how it played out. But it's also exciting at the same time because I didn't feel like I had to replicate anything anywhere else. We didn't have to worry about saying, well, this works here, so it's got to work there. It's saying, hey, let's take this idea and find how they can balance for their specific context. So like stepping foot of the community center is a great example of I get to see the same way that we want to do things, and that's with excellence in a way that honors God, that honors the people there. But I get to see it play out in a way that fits the context of the community that's there. And so it's really cool not having to worry about, hey, why didn't this work here? Because it's got to work there. It's, hey, this works here. This works here. Let's do both really well.
Yeah, it's been interesting to watch that all unfold. But I something I really appreciate about you is the ability you have to go into different types of situations and make them all thrive and do well and sound well. You go to any of our buildings, you know, the locations, and it all sounds good wherever you are, but they are all different.
Yeah. I'd love to take credit for that, but it is the team that we have at each location.
I know, but somebody's got to lead that team, so I appreciate that about you. But it's different than what we thought it would be, to some degree. Anytime you're working in a church or a ministry, there's always moments that you never forget that come up, and it's one of these moments that sometimes you don't realize how significant it is until you can look back on it. But have you had those moments in your path and the church and sound and all that you do to make ministries thrive?
Yeah, that makes me think of one story. Back in 2014, I was on a mission trip with my church at the time, and we were in Uganda, basically just seeing what areas we could support, because we knew that God wanted us to support some ministries there, some churches there, but we didn't know exactly what that looked like. So I was able to go down with a small team, and my role was just to capture everything with video and photos to help kind of document that process. But while we were there, there was a lot of question of who do we support? Who is God calling us to support? And so one crazy thing that happened is I ended up in the hospital while we were there. I somehow choked on something. It got stuck, and it wouldn't come out. And so I was in a Ugandan hospital for 3 days. And it was a crazy time because when you're in a foreign country, even when you're in the hospital for any reason, it's scary. You don't know what's going on. And so for me, it was a time that I got to spend a lot of time in prayer and just asking God, why? Why is this happening right now? And ultimately, what was really cool is because of that that time I had to spend in the hospital, we were forced to stay in a certain location for some extra amount of time. And God used that time to show us, like, hey, this other ministry that's already here is who you should be helping support, who you should partner with in these communities. And what I love about that is that is this pivotal time where God was like, hey, I want you to know that regardless of what's going on, I'm still in control and that I'm still working, even though you might be going through something that's kind of difficult. And it made me think of Acts 12. I was actually reading that around the same time where Paul is imprisoned, and without knowing, God sends an angel, and the angel leads him out of the prison to his friend's house. God, in the past, in the Bible, has taken his people. He's provided for them, and he's worked for them on their behalf behind the scenes of what we may see, and it just a great reminder that he does the same, even for me, in those areas. And so it's just a cool time. Looking back, of course, it was a cool time to be like, wow, God really does work in some crazy ways, regardless of what I'm going through.
Sure.
I just love getting to use the technology that we have to glorify God in the ways that we do. It's an honor getting to do that here, honestly, anywhere, but sure. Doing it here is something special. So
we're thrilled that God sent you our way, you know, whether it was California or South Carolina, there's a lot of places you could have been. And I'm sure I would assume Nashville would have been one of those, of course, but, I'm just so thankful that he brought you to us, and because you're very helpful, very knowledgeable. And I really appreciate what you do.
Thank you.
And no one would believe what goes on in rooms that no one will ever see, you know, where you're trying to make it all work well and connect and stream well and sound and all that comes with it. People don't – I suppose we might realize just how extensive this was, what you all do and your team, if we didn't have, you know, sound or video or whatever. One day something went wrong. And so I'm very thankful that God brought you here, and I really appreciate what you do.
Thank you.
The attitude you have, and knowing that I really sense that this is not a job for you. This is a calling.
Yeah.
And you're doing what God wants you to do and has equipped you to do it. And I really, that matters, and it makes a difference.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate it. Really,
thank you.
Do.
Yeah, thank you so much.